does.
This week, especially before a lot of the rain came in, I had some extra hands, and we went out to do some of our final harvests in the vineyard. And if you've ever picked grapes by hand, like, it's hard work. You're there, you're kind of bending down, and you're doing the same thing for hours and hours and hours. And it got me thinking, we always talk about what a good example the vineyard is for our Christian walk. We know why farming exists. It's because of the fall of man. And it started me thinking, you know, how even in like kind of the most joyful moment of all the work we do each year, bringing in the harvest, it's still labor intensive. It's still hard work. I think that correlates in lots of ways, sort of in our own life, that even in some of the joyful moments, hard work exists. But it also really got me thinking, as we come up on a painful anniversary for Laura with the passing of her mom last year, that farming and vineyards and all of that exists, again, because this isn't God's domain right now. The Prince of Darkness basically controls this world. And that, you know, in that we turn to God, we turn for hope, but this isn't where the ultimate harvest is. This isn't where the ultimate fights for life are. And that even though little battles happen and we struggle and we feel like we've lost, that the end result is, you know, the hard labor for your mom is over and she's in heaven. And that, you know, in the end, we'll join her too. And, you know, we'll be comforting her, and we won't have to go through all of this. I don't know how vineyards will get pruned, and I don't know how harvest will happen in heaven. But it's going to be different. So that's just one of the things I've been thinking about.
Who do you want to be at the end of the day? Where do you want to be at the end of the day? You know, I got a brother. He travels all around the country for work and this and that. He owns a house over in Honeyoy. He chose to move to Florida. For him, I hope that's a good thing. Somebody else probably moved from Florida, chose to move to New York. I choose to stay right where I am at the moment. And then there's somebody who's gone to New York and back to Florida and come back to, it flies both ways. But the ability to choose. And you know, this blows my mind that so many people don't understand that you have the ability to choose. People, I run into people all the time whose lives have been just made a wreck because of the choices that they make, and they don't realize, you know what, you can choose something different. It does not have to be this way. And if you would grab hold of that power that God gives us to choose something better, your life would be better. I'm going to go over a couple. You got to move that. I'm going to go over a couple of verses. These are hopefully familiar to you. If not, I hope you find them to be very helpful. But in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, it says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, look at what it says there. If it seems evil to you, if it seems evil to you, do you know how many of you run into somebody who just felt, you know what, it just doesn't seem like the right thing to serve the Lord? You run into those people? I know for me, that's the way it felt for me when I was growing up. you know, late into my teens before I came to know Jesus. But prior to that, it's like, that church thing's just not for me. You know, I wouldn't have worded it like, well, it seems evil to me to serve the Lord. I mean, that is an interesting phrase. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, how can it be evil to serve the Lord? That just doesn't make sense to us because we're following the Lord. But for someone who doesn't choose to follow Jesus, you know what? That just doesn't seem, maybe that just doesn't seem right. Well, let me ask you a question. What does it seem like to you today . To me, it seems like evil is everything outside of Jesus Christ. That's what it seems like. I have had a conversation a few months back with a young man at the jail telling me all these different things that he was following. And you know, a lot of times I'll get that where somebody will come in and, you know, they know they're coming to a church service, but they'll come in and try to promote some other god. And the first thing I have to say to them is, look it, we're not here to talk about some other god. We came here tonight to talk about Jesus Christ, the one and true God. And so I have to sometimes look at this verse and let them know, hey, you got to make a choice. You've chosen to study this religion over here and study that religion over there, or maybe follow this other religion over here, but you have to make a choice. And if you choose something other than Jesus Christ, then you're on your own. Whatever it is that you think you're following, if you think that's the way, then God help you. But I sure hope that by the end of the day, you choose to take a look at Jesus Christ. And that's what I tell people a lot of times. You have a choice, and I can't force you to make that choice. And so, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourself whom you will serve. You know, your neighbor can't choose for you. You choose for yourself. Unfortunately, we can't choose for others. How many of us would like to choose for others? Every hand that's in the air, you're a codependent person, just like me. What's that mean? It means you're not going to be okay if they're not okay, so you're going to fix them. Well, we can't do that, unfortunately. We cannot choose for somebody else, but we can choose for ourselves. Yes, though. Estelle's sharing a story how she's encouraging others in the place where she is to be joyful, to choose to be happy. Now, again, we can't choose for somebody else. We can't encourage somebody else. And I encourage you to do that. And that's pretty much what's going on here, is Joshua is saying to the people, and he's encouraging them, look at, you got some choices to make. But at the end of the day, if they choose to be grumpy and miserable, if they choose not to find the good in every day, if they choose not to follow Jesus Christ, there's not a thing you and I can do about it. And that's a hard thing, because as we were praying during worship, we all have family members that we want them to serve the Lord. We want them to know Jesus like we know Jesus. We want them to experience, you know, all of His love and all of His mercy and all of His grace. Yet, we can't make that choice for them. I say this all the time to others, you know, as I'm witnessing or trying to encourage others to do the right thing. What I have to say to them is, you know what, I cannot be the Christian for you. You have to be your own Christian. You have to be your own follower of Christ. And so choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the river. Think about that for a moment. He's talking about, it's believed that he's talking about the river Euphrates. And the understanding might be that the gods of their fathers on the other side of the river were those who were destroyed in the desert for not following God. Or there's another translation, the King James translation says, on the other side of the flood, which that could be interpreted that the gods of those who were the gods of those who were before the flood of Noah, you want to go back and serve those gods? And so, but either way, how you want to interpret that particular verse, whether you want to think it's the river or whether Euphrates, or whether you want to think it's the flood of Noah, whatever the case may be, if your fathers served some other god than the one true God, who are you going to serve? Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, me and my house, teenagers, listen. While you're in your parents' house, serve the Lord. If your parents are serving the Lord, you serve the Lord. You probably don't have a choice. That's, some of you might be here this morning because you were drug here. Cruz will say to me, why do I have to go to church? Dallas and Star aren't always there. And I'm like, you know what? Dallas and Star have come to that place in their lives where they got to make choices for themselves. But you, young man, are still under my authority and you're going to church. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I know Cruz loves Jesus. But it's a choice. It's a choice. Chris mentioned, you know, we all have this thing we're looking forward to. There's a harvest that takes place, and there's good times that come. You know, hopefully when you come here on a Sunday morning, this is your you know, you find rest here, you find joy here. You know, the Sunday morning a lot of times would be the day of the week you just so look forward to. But the truth of it is, there is hard work involved. Very hard work involved. And so we have to make a choice. And you know what? It seems easier sometimes to do nothing. It seems easier not to follow the Lord. It seems easier not to have to get up Sunday morning and make it to church. Easier not to say anything about Jesus. Why is it so hard for us to talk about Jesus in the world, in the commonplace, you know, in the marketplace, or with our families? Why is it so hard? It seems easier if we would just keep our mouth shut. And so when you choose to serve the Lord, you are choosing to do something that is not our default nature to do. Do you understand that? Our default nature is to follow our sin nature, which takes us down a path that for many seems to be like, well, this is wonderful, when it leads to death and it leads to destruction. There's a guy that I've come across on the internet. His name is John Brevere. Maybe some of you have seen the posts that I've shared of his. But he talks about, you know, the message of eternity, how powerful that is in the church, and how, you know, why it's important to speak about eternity, you know, people's eternal future. Yesterday, I did a funeral for somebody. And before that funeral service was over, I had upwards maybe 100 people. And at a funeral, you have a body laying there, somebody who's already passed that, crossed that river from life to the next life, life on this earth to the next life. Man, it's important to take those opportunities to share about our eternal future. I mentioned in that service, I'll guarantee you that everybody in this place has a hope and desire that this one is in heaven with Jesus right now. And I'll guarantee you that if you sit down and you really think about it, that every person in here has a desire for eternal life as well. Why wouldn't you? You know, modern scientists are seeking for some sort of a cure that can make you live forever or whatever. It's like, you know what? I don't want to live on this earth forever, because I know there's a better place. And I choose to go through the hardships of this place so that I can get to that place. I choose Jesus Christ. Let me show you a couple more verses. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 9. Do not be deceived. Think about that for a moment. What was the I believe, this is me now. Don't say, oh, pastor's preaching heresy. I don't know what he came up with. He's saying something different. Everybody, you know, we all have the understanding. The first sin was, you know, Eve eating from the tree. Adam and Eve, I'm going to throw them both under the bus. Adam and Eve eating from the tree. I would consider the idea that maybe the first sin was not the eating of the tree, but in allowing themselves to be deceived by the devil. Before they ate of that tree, something happened. Their minds were changed. They were deceived. They knew what God had said, but the devil comes along in the form of a certain serpent and talks to them and deceives them into thinking, well, that's really not what God said. Go ahead and do what you want. The other interesting about that is they apparently had a desire for that tree. Think about that for a moment. Why would they even eaten from it if they didn't have a desire to eat from it? That's an interesting question. The truth of it is, sin is very desirous of us, isn't it? Because of our sin nature. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now, Chris works at a vineyard. He sows grapes. They reap grapes. Hopefully. It is hard work. That is what he mentioned. For he who sows to his flesh will reap of the flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will sow the Spirit. I can't read. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. This verse goes right along with what Chris was talking about this morning. There's hard things to do before you get to reap the harvest. And that's what that verse is saying, verse 9 there. Let us not grow weary. Am I saying that right? I heard a snicker. I'm just not sure if I'm saying that right. Weary. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. Say that 10 times fast. For in due season you will reap. If you what? If you do not lose heart. And so here's the deal. You make a choice for Jesus Christ. It gets hard. It's so profound that following Christ is the easiest thing you can do with your life, and it's also the most difficult thing you can do for your life. Isn't that crazy? But you reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap everlasting life. Is there anybody here that doesn't want everlasting life? Praise God, I'm in like-minded people. But understand this, especially young people, understand this. It's about the choices you make, whether or not you're going to receive that everlasting life. And you know what? I say especially young people. Maybe I should say especially you older people, because you might be a little closer to that door than the rest of us. Or not. But it's your choices that will decide. Another verse, Hosea 8:7 says this, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. It says the stalk has no bud, it shall never produce meal. If it should produce, aliens or somebody else will take it away. You know what happens when you sow to the things of the world? You get the things of the world. And if anything good comes out of it at all, guess what? Somebody comes along and takes it. You know, God's word is so powerful and so true. And if we would just think about it for a moment, the choices that I make today are going to affect my tomorrow. Whether or not I am going to live in heaven for eternity, or whether or not eternal destruction. Choices. You know, Celebrate Recovery, we do every Wednesday night. There's a book, I don't have a copy of it right here, but it talks about, we have some new ones if you need one, Life's Healing Choices. Anybody here feel a little broken today? You feel broken today? You can make choices toward your own healing. You know that. The thing that drives me crazy is when I see somebody who's struggling and their life is a mess and they got all this stuff going on, but they don't want to make choices that will move them toward healing. It gets so frustrating at times. Anybody sharing that frustration with me? Yeah, I'm sure. It's like, why won't you just choose to do something different? I've mentioned this many times. I minister it to the jail. How many in the jail here, you know, in this particular meeting, have been in and out several times, more than once? And almost all the hands, every time, will go up. In and out, in and out, in and out. Wait a minute. I can't wait to go back to the jail now. I'm going to look them right in the face and I'm going to say, you are insane. I like telling them that you can tell the truth in jail. Somebody has to. And I call them out. You are insane. Do you like this place? And they all, no. Well, you know what you did that got you in here. And guess what, people? We, even as believers who've never seen the inside of a jail cell, we know what we've done to get us to the place where we're at right now. If you were able to go back and choose differently and have a better result, would you do it? Usually the answer would be, well, yeah, I don't like where I'm at right now. I don't like the mess that's in my life right now. And so maybe if I could go back and change something and move in a little different direction, it would be better for me. Do you know that if you were to start moving in a straight line, if you get deviated just a little tiny bit, the farther you get from that point where you are now, you're going to be in a different place. There's a book on that? The Slight Edge? I might want to read that. Of course you do. I've asked this question before. What if you were born today at your age and your size and your knowledge that you have today? Today's your first day on earth. No past. You have no past. It never happened because today's your first day. What would you choose for your tomorrow? If there were no influence from yesterday and all the years prior, if there was no influence there, what would you choose for yourself for tomorrow? The profound truth is, You can make that same choice. Even though you've had a tomorrow, and even though you've had a past. Why do we allow yesterday and all the years prior affect where we're heading tomorrow? We don't have to. You can start today fresh and new. You can get on your knees and you can pray and you can say, God, where would you like me to be at the end of the week? Where would you like me to be at the end of the year? I want to go that direction. You can make that choice, regardless of your past. Do you? Amen. The slight edge works for the good. Well, that's all I'm talking about, is the good. But you know, it does go the other way. The slight edge also, if you deviate just a little bit in the wrong direction, guess what? You end up in a place you don't want to be. Yeah, see, we... Anybody have a sister that thinks different than you? But think about that for a moment. You know, the moment I asked that question, Brother Paul's like, whoo, hallelujah. Well, guess what? That's the way God's kingdom works. When he said, you're forgiven, it's all erased. It's all gone. When you say, Jesus, I will follow you, it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. If you make a choice to serve Jesus Christ and to follow him and to obey him and to do his will, guess what? It's all good. It's all good. Well, I'm not saying you're not going to struggle and go through a little bit of hardship along the way, because we know we're going to have trials. We know we're going to have stuff. Think about what's going on in your life right now. Are you happy with it? Or are you not happy with it? Well, the question that I have to ask myself, God, what are you teaching me in this trial? I'm going through something here, God. I trust you that whatever it is I'm going through, there's a purpose, there's a reason in it, there's a plan, and when it's all said and done, I'm going to have grown, I'm going to have matured, I'm going to be stronger. You're going to wish you didn't sit in the front row, I'm just spitting all over the place. I read something recently that said that people, when they're speaking, if spit's coming out, then they're doing it right, so... I'm telling you the truth. I don't know what that's all about, but... Don says the front row seats are open if you all want to come up. Amen. Let me move on. Job said this. Job, now, if you don't understand, if you know, you're new to the Bible, Job is actually the first recorded writing. It doesn't come before Genesis. You know, just the way they didn't necessarily put everything in order when they laid out the Bible, but Job is believed to be the earliest recording in the Bible. But Job said this. He said, even as I have seen those who plow iniquity, so trouble, and so trouble, reap the same. The thing that Job left out here, of course, Job did know God, but he didn't know Jesus at that point, unless God had revealed him to him somehow. The thing about this is, you know, even if you plow iniquity and sow trouble, if you choose Jesus Christ, you're going to reap something better. It's so important. How many of us have what's it say, plowed iniquity and sown trouble? Am I the only one? Probably not. And you know, coming to Jesus isn't like a get-out-of-jail-free card. Maybe that's why we go through some of the trials and tribulations and struggles that we do. Maybe because we are reaping some of what we sow. I almost think that Paul, you know, mentioned something about that. I have to look that up. About some of his troubles, you know, being that he was the chief of sinners. He talked a bit about reaping and sowing. But the truth of God's word is all the way through. It's about your choices. I'll share one more verse with you Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, sow for yourselves righteousness. I don't want to end on a negative note. Sow for yourselves righteousness. What's that mean? It means when you wake up in the morning and you start your day and you start making choices. Do you know every one of us make choices? Every second of every day is based on your choices. Do you know that? You chose to get out of bed this morning. That's partially why you're here. I'll bet there are still some that are still in bed because they didn't choose to get out of bed yet. Once you got out of bed, you chose to clean yourself up and get dressed. Leastwise, I haven't smelled anybody that didn't clean themselves up yet. Maybe you didn't choose that. Maybe you did. I trust you did. But you chose to get dressed. Praise God. There's nobody naked here this morning. You chose to get in your car. You chose to drive to the church. You chose to enter the building. You know what? I would bet that if everybody that pulled into this parking lot and chose not to come in but turned around and left, if they would show up, we wouldn't have room for all of them. Not just today, I mean throughout the past. You know that people will drive in the parking lot, they'll get this close. Some of them may even walk to the front door and turn around and leave. They're that close. But you know, you all made a choice to come in here today. Now, you didn't choose the sermon. I got to do that. But you get to choose what you do with what you heard. Right? You sow for yourselves righteousness, which means do the things that are good. Do the things that you know God wants you to do. And this is something that I've been trying to hone people into. Knowing the voice of God, knowing the will of God, listening to that voice and doing what it says, doing what he said. Not listening to that voice of the devil. The voice of the devil will come in and bring confusion. If you've got a decision to make, okay, I've got a choice to make and I'm totally confused, I'm feeling like this, I'm hearing that, but I don't know. Guess who is the author of confusion? The devil. So, you know, I make this point. You know God's voice, but you also know the devil's voice. You've heard him. Trust me, as much as God's talking to you, so is the devil. Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to? It's your choice. Sow for yourselves righteousness. It says reap in mercy. When you sow righteousness, you reap mercy. What's that mean? It means when you do what God wants you to do, he forgives you for the stuff that you did that you weren't supposed to do. Isn't that wonderful? And guess what? That's a choice that God made. And I love the choices that God makes. He chose you and me. Even though he knew that we were going to do the wrong thing much of our lives, many times, and we're going to get it wrong many, many more times, yet, God made a choice. He chose you. And he chose me. If he had no intention of choosing you or choosing me, he wouldn't have even created us to begin with. He created us. And so we sow for ourselves righteousness, we reap in mercy. It says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. And so, break up your fallow ground. What is that? It's ground that has not been tilled yet. How many know that if Chris goes out and just throws grape seeds on the ground without digging it up, without working it good and preparing it, the seed's probably not going to work. I mean, there are some things that will just grow anywhere without anybody seemingly doing anything to the ground. And guess what they're called? Called weeds. Anybody got weeds? They grow places like, are you kidding me? I didn't plant you there. Right? And so we break up the fallow ground in our hearts. You know, the areas in our heart where we have not prepared for Jesus yet. We need to go in there and prepare our hearts for Jesus. We got to break up that fallow ground in there so that he can plant those seeds in our hearts so they will grow and we will reap what? Righteousness. He will reign righteousness. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord till he comes and reigns righteousness. My question is, what are the choices you're making? Think about the choices you're making. What are the results of the choices you've made so far, and what is it that you desire for the choices that you're going to make next? Plan it. Work on it. Pray about it. Make choices. I've heard people say, I don't know why they say this. I've heard people say, man, I wish I could do what you do. Well, you can. If you've got that desire in your heart. I had a desire in my heart as a young man to play the guitar. Guess what I did? I picked up the guitar. And I chose to start learning how to play it. Had a desire in my heart to lead worship. Guess what happened? I moved in that direction. And God gave me that place. I had a desire in my heart. The moment I got saved, I was reading in the Bible, and I would read the Old Testament, and I would read about the prophets, and I would read about the men of God, and I'd be like, man, that's what I want to be. I want to be the guy that has influence on somebody, that to influence on them to move toward God. That's the guy I want to be. And God make me pastor. I hope I'm having a good influence. What are your desires? What has God put in you? Are you making choices, you know, and make sure they're God desires. Because remember, the devil talks too, and God talks, and there are certain desires we have that we really don't want to pursue. But the desires that God put in there, why are you waiting? Don't wait any longer. Make a choice today to move in the direction of God's blessing for you. There was a verse, I couldn't find it. Again, that John Brevere, he put a verse on. I should have wrote it down. I didn't. It's somewhere in Josiah, I believe, that talks about you have not prospered because you have not obeyed my commandments. Maybe it was in Joshua, actually. Well, guess what? I want to prosper. Anybody else want to prosper? I got to make choices to make that happen. I mean, it's not like I can force God's hand, but I know this. When you please God, it pleases God to bless you. Isn't that interesting? And so think about it. Just think about it. You today and I today am a product of the choices that we've made all along the way. It's all about the choices. And so I want to encourage you. If you're not satisfied with where you're at today, either in your growth in God or in your position in the world, think about it. Make some choices to change it. Because you don't want me coming in here next week and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to tell you the same thing I told the people at jail. You're insane. You don't want me to do that. I trust everyone in here this morning has chosen who they will serve, that being Jesus Christ. And so I don't know that I need to, you know, throw a salvation message out there. But if you haven't made that choice, then let me encourage you. Let today be the day that you make a choice to say, yes, I will receive and believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I will follow him. If that's not a choice that you've never made, let me encourage you to make that choice today. It'll change everything. He will help you with the sin in your life. He will forgive you of it, and he will lead you in paths of righteousness. And your whole life will change, and you will be blessed, and you will receive eternal life through the Son, Jesus. And so let me encourage you to do that. But for those of you who have made that choice, I want to encourage you. You know what? I think the church in America needs to make some choices. We need to have a greater influence on the nation that we live in. And so we have to make some choices. Pretty soon we're going to choose a president. If you don't know what to do, again, we've got some paperwork there. Take a look at the platforms. You come up with an educated decision on who it is you're going to vote for. My only desire, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. My only thing is to encourage you to vote for the person who's going to do the most good for the church, who's going to do the most good toward advancing the kingdom of God on earth. That's the only thing I ask you to, but I'm not going to tell you who that is. You get educated yourself, know what they stand for, and it's pretty clear. But we, as the church, need to make choices. We've made a choice to go down and help with the lunch program. That's a good choice. We've made other choices. Matter of fact, we're going to make a choice here in a few minutes, whether or not we're going to take part in this Family Promise thing and allow people to... homeless people to be sheltered here for, you know, 1 week at a time. But the Church of America needs to make some choices. It starts with prayer, seeking God's will, and then it starts with action, doing God's will. Let me ask you that question. Are you one who's even chosen to pray to seek God's will, and are you one who, after finding God's will, have chosen to do God's will? Again, it's all about the choice. Stand with me and let's pray. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And God, I thank you that every now and again we need to be reminded that life does not have to be the way it is today. That we can make choices that would move us to a greater influence, that would move us to a greater outcome. God, I pray for everyone in this place today that the choices that we make today would be choices that would be beneficial for everyone. That your kingdom would be advanced through the choices that we make today. That our lives would be blessed because of the choices that we make today. That the lost would be saved through the choices that we make today. And that you would be glorified in us and through us through the choices that we make today. Lord, we have made a decision to serve you. And God, I pray that you give us wisdom, that you give us direction, and that the choices that we make today would be the choices that you would want us to make. I thank you, Lord, for choosing me, for choosing this congregation of people and so many others. And God, I pray that through that choice that you chose us, you would be blessed and honored, and that your will would be done. Bless each one today in Jesus' name. Amen.